Our scripture reading this morning comes from Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 11. Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 11, the epilogue describing the wife of noble character. Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it's still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Thus the reading of God's word as it comes to us from Proverbs chapter 31. Once again, today is Mother's Day, and a day which is set aside to honor our mothers. And what better passage to reflect on this morning than Proverbs 31. Now, I've known people who perhaps do not use Proverbs 31 in an appropriate way. The story goes of a minister who had a couple come to them for marriage counseling, and after meeting with them a time or two, he encouraged them to have devotions together. And after a couple days, he talked with the wife, and he asked her how the devotions were going, and she said, "My husband read Proverbs 31 and said, how come you're not like that?" Clearly, a misunderstanding of Proverbs 31, when used solely for the purposes of changing the other person. However, probably the bigger picture in understanding that misuse of Proverbs 31 is that the husband was using it only in a horizontal way. And when I mean a horizontal way, he's taking a passage of Scripture and he's looking at the other person and he's simply telling her, this is how you should be and this is how you should live and this is why God has given us these words in the book of Proverbs. But it's very important that as we look at these words in Proverbs 31, that we recognize that there is also a vertical nature to understanding this passage. There is a vertical nature which first must come before one looks at the horizontal teaching that is to be applied by those who read these words. For us to understand the vertical nature, we have to go back to the beginning of the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 1. Now you see, in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1, it tells us that these proverbs were of Solomon, who was a son of David, and who was the king of Israel. Solomon is the author of this book. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, the man who prayed to God for wisdom in leading the children of Israel, he wrote these Proverbs. The Proverbs are the outworking of the law of God. God delivered the children of Israel from the land of Egypt, from slavery, and he provided salvation for them. At Mount Sinai, he gave them the law which was not to be obeyed for their salvation, for they were already saved, but the law which was given to them to demonstrate their faithfulness to God, to demonstrate their union with God and the covenant he had made with them, and so that God's name and glory and righteousness could be reflected upon the earth in how they lived. And so Solomon, writing these Proverbs, is the outworking of that law, is the greater fulfillment of that law which is given, Proverbs of which the children of Israel are to live by in covenant faithfulness and unity to their God. As verse 1 goes on, as chapter 1 goes on, you see this in verse 2, that the Proverbs are for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right, just, and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance, for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and the riddles of the wise. These proverbs are to be read by those who desire to live in faithfulness to God, for those who need wisdom and guidance for how they live their lives. And you see there in verse 7, the source of all of this wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If you want to have true knowledge, it comes from fearing the Lord. It comes from knowing Him, from recognizing the salvation He has provided. For the Old Testament person, it is to know God as well as He revealed Himself in that covenant. For the New Testament person, the fear of the Lord is to know Christ. You see, Christ is the wisdom of God. He is the Word that became flesh. He is the salvation that God has provided, and He is the beginning of knowledge. And so as verse 7 goes on, it divides the two. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. You see, these Proverbs are for those who belong to God, who strive to live in covenant faithfulness to Him, and they are wisdom for the young man who has two paths of which he could go. He may follow Lady Wisdom, or he may decide to follow the path of the adulteress. If you turn to chapter 2, verse 16, it tells us this. 2, verse 16. Wisdom will save you also from the adulteress, from the wayward wife with her seductive words, who has left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she made with God. For her house leads down to death, and her paths to the spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or attain the paths of life. You see, there are two ways of life being outlined in the book of Proverbs. Those who follow Lady Wisdom, those who follow the adulteress into sin and to death. And so when we come to Proverbs 31, we have the epilogue. We have the description of the wife of true wisdom, the one who has sought to follow true wisdom in their life, who has the noble character of which to live, who has demonstrated the covenant faithfulness to God, and who understands what it means to be in relationship, intimate relationship with the God who has saved her, with the Savior who has given her life. Now, someone might ask, Why, at the end of Proverbs, then, is there only the epilogue for the wife of noble character? What about the faithful husband of noble character? Why only the focus on the wife? Why couldn't this wife who went in for marriage counseling turn to the passage on the husband's faithfulness and read that to him and say back, "Why aren't you like that?" Well, the answer to that question is that the book of Proverbs is written to God's people, to God's covenant people, to the bride of Christ. You see, as this epilogue is describing the wife of noble character, yes, there is teaching for a wife, but it is also describing the character of the church, the bride of Christ. The bride of Christ who is called to live according to the way of wisdom, not according to the adulteress. The bride of Christ who is called to live a life of noble character. And as the book of Proverbs ends, it describes for us this church, this bride, which is called to live in faithfulness to their God. Now notice how Proverbs 31 concludes. In verse 28 we read, "Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her." Now what wife and mother would not desire the fulfillment of those words? "Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her." To know that your children call you blessed and are thankful for all the things you have done for them, to know that your husband praises you for your faithfulness as a wife as you have served him and in your role, what wife and mother would not desire those very things? But notice verse 29. "Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all." Well, there are a lot of mothers who do noble things. You do not have to know the Lord to do noble things, to do the wash, to cook the meals, to pick up the house, fold socks. All of those things are noble things that mothers do, whether they love Christ or whether they do not love Christ. But notice how the verse goes on. "But you surpass them all." Why does this wife described at the end of Proverbs surpass all of the other mothers? Verse 30. "Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised." You see, a wife and mother can do a lot of charming things. A wife and mother can do a lot of nice, beautiful things. But the woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. You see, what separates this woman from all the other mothers that are doing noble things is that she fears the Lord, is that she knows her identification with the God who has saved her, so that a New Testament person, a New Testament mother, can recognize that the fear of the Lord means knowing your union and intimacy with Christ Jesus. What separates her from all of the others is that her fear of the Lord, and in her faithfulness to the Lord, she is to be praised. So why is it then that her children arise and call her blessed? Is it because she folds their socks, or she cooks their meals, or because of all these little things that she's done for them ever since they were little and when they were growing up? No. Her children arise and call her blessed because she is working out the union with Christ that she has in him. And as she comes to know Christ and to live for him, she is participating in her role that Christ has given her in that household. She works in that household as one who is working out her blessing in Christ. She does these noble things in the life of her household because she knows Christ, because she loves Christ, because she recognizes that Christ has given her this important role in her life. And so when the children look to her and call her blessed, they are truly blessing Christ, who has blessed them with this mother. God has given them the blessing of a mother who loves Christ Jesus and who desires to serve him in their household. And the children are thankful for all the ways she serves because she knows Christ and because she lives Christ. You see, as Proverbs 31 concludes, the point that it wants us to see is that we must always remember that our mother, especially the Christian mothers that God has put in our households, are to be praised and blessed by us because God has blessed us with them. They are God's gift to us. Their service and faithfulness is God's gift to us. This is how they served. This is why they are to be praised. Because of their faithfulness to God, because of their faithfulness in serving him in that household, which is a blessing from God, a blessing from Christ that is given to us. Notice the husband also in verse 28 praises her. Praises the Lord for her faithfulness. Praises her for her faithfulness to the Lord in fulfilling the role that God has given her. He recognizes that she is God's gift to that household, and he gives praise and honor to her for the blessings that she has provided that household because she loves Christ and fears him and desires to serve him. But notice also that these verses apply to the bride of Christ, his church. Why does the church receive praise from her husband? Because it's faithful to God and his covenant. Jesus gives us praise not because of our works, not because of all the noble things that we do. Jesus gives us praise because we love him, and the things that we do are the outworking of our love for him. Why do the children of the church call us blessed? Is it because of all the nice things that we do? No, because we have demonstrated a love for Christ, a desire to serve Christ. Verse 30, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. Think how many churches know how to be charming. How many know how to be beautiful? But charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. But a woman, a bride of Christ who fears the Lord and who knows the Lord, that bride is to be praised. You see how this book of Proverbs is not only to be used in this horizontal perspective, where women are to read it and husbands and wives are to read it together and learn from the teaching and learn from the faithfulness of this wife that is described. But it also is given in a vertical manner in which it is to be recognized that none of these things cannot be accomplished if the wife does not love her Savior and desire to serve her Savior and represent him in that household. Now, many of us, when we think of a representative of Christ in the household, we go to the book of Ephesians where it tells us that husbands must love their wives as Christ loves the church. And certainly the husband does represent Christ in that household. But also in that household, we have the wife of noble character who identifies with the Savior and her role in serving him in that household. And together as husband and wife in that household, moms and dads represent Christ and his bride, the church. As the husband is the faithful head of the church, the wife is the faithful servant of the husband and that household as they serve together, demonstrating the place of Christ and the church in that house. Well, let's go into some of these verses here at the beginning and look how more in depth this character is described. Now, we won't have time this morning to cover every verse, but let's look at a few. Verse 10, a wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Well, one thing we know about rubies is that they are very rare and they are very valuable. Well, the author of Proverbs is telling us that such is the case with a wife who has this noble character. A wife who desires to be faithful to Christ and live out that intimate union that she has with Christ Jesus as she serves in her household. That type of wife, who can find her? If you can find her, she is worth far more than any rubies. A wife like that is rare. A church like that is rare. But God does provide them, and God does give them. Verse 11, her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. Well, how many husbands find value in other things? They find value in their work, in making money, in their possessions, in their hobbies. But this wife of noble character has a husband who finds only value in her. In fact, it tells us that this husband has full confidence in his wife. Now, how can a husband have full confidence in his wife? That he knows fully well that she is with him, that she is beside him, that together they are one. That their union and intimacy is so deep that there's nothing else in his life that he values as much as that relationship with his noble wife. That confidence comes through the Lord. When the wife knows and understands her union with the Lord, when the husband knows and understands the intimate union he has with the Lord, together they have full confidence in one another because they know the Lord and they trust the Lord together. And because they know the Lord, because they value that relationship that together they have in the Lord, he lacks nothing of value because he has the Lord, because he has the wife that God has provided her. How many churches desire to have the Lord Jesus Christ have full confidence in them? That they would know and understand that union in such a way that there is no breaking of that union between the groom and his bride. Verse 12, she brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. If you read some of the other Proverbs, we read of harm that is caused to the husband through the unfaithfulness of a wife. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4, we read these words, a wife of noble character is her husband's crown, but a disgraceful wife is like the decay in his bones. The wife of noble character is described the crown of her husband. But a disgraceful wife is like the decay of his bones. Other proverbs describe the wife, the contentious wife, where it would be better for the husband to live on the corner of a roof than with a contentious wife. Other proverbs describe the woman who is a gossip, who causes divisions and difficulties for her husband because of the gossip and the things that she does. A wife has the ability to bring a husband down. As it's described, a decaying of the bones, a slow, painful process, Proverbs 12, verse 4, that could take place. Or in her faithfulness to the Lord, in her faithfulness to her role as the servant of Christ in that household, She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. Verse 13, she selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. Well, you know that wool and flax were used to make clothing. And so does Proverbs 31, verse 13 teach us that all women need to sew? Well, look at the end of it. And works with eager hands. The point of this proverb is that she's industrious, that she's willing to work and provide for her household eagerly in various ways and various means. That as she selects the wool and the flax, she's not expecting her husband to provide everything, that he's going to provide all the clothes for the household and all the things that they need, and he'll just take care of it all. But she's finding ways to better the household, whether it be making her own clothes or making other things which could benefit the household, benefit the financial situation of the household by her industrious, eager hands in the way that she serves. If you look further at verse 15, she gets up while it's still dark. She provides food for the family and portions for her servant girls. Does that mean that every woman must get up before dark and serve, and that's how she can be faithful? Boy, this time of the year, that's pretty early. What it's saying is that she recognizes that she needs to get that household going, that the children cannot provide for themselves. The husband, he's got the ways that he must serve the household. And so she's a person who recognizes her role of getting that household going, of providing food for the family. She doesn't wait for the servant girls to come in and do it for her. But in her desire to serve and in her faithfulness to serve, she even provides portions for the servant girls who have come to assist her and to help her. What about the church? God has given the church tools to use to serve the Lord, to serve its husband faithfully. Does the church just sit back and wait for Christ to do it all for them? Well, no, the church also needs to be industrious. The church needs to serve faithfully in the same way. The church shouldn't wait for others to take care of it, but the church seeks to serve and get going and to faithfully serve its husband here on this earth. Look at verse 21. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. Well, it's snowing, so that means it's winter. And she's not fearful of the snow and of the cold. Why? Because her household is clothed in scarlet. Scarlet is warm red clothes. The dark color of scarlet in the sun will add to the warmth that is in the scarlet clothing, for the sun will absorb that heat. And so when the cold is coming, this noble wife has her family prepared. They should not worry that the children are going to go out and freeze in the cold, or that her husband will not be prepared. For she has no fear for this future, for her household is prepared. They are clothed properly. They are taken care of in the Lord. Look also at verse 25. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She has the character of strength and dignity that she has no fear of the days to come. She's not going to be caught off guard. She, in her faithfulness, has prepared her household for each and every situation, that in the strength and dignity of Christ, she has no fear for what will happen in the future. For she is secure in her relationship with Christ. She is secure in her relationship with her husband. She is secure in the Lord, so that no matter what event the Lord brings upon that household or that family, she looks at it with strength and dignity, recognizing that he is in charge and that he has provided salvation. Finally, verse 27. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. How many women have not been targeted by the media and by television shows and the soap operas and the ways that they can fill their time while their husbands are gone or while their children are at school? But this is the type of woman who does not fill her time with the bread of idleness. She recognizes that her duty is to make sure that that household is in shape, that it's going, that the Lord will bless the children and how they are served, that the Lord will bless her as she serves and is industrious and not spending her time on the bread of idleness. You see, this woman that is described in Proverbs 31 is a woman that is seeking to be faithful to Christ, a woman that is seeking to be faithful to her husband and to her children, a woman who in seeking that is seeking to be faithful to the reward that she has earned. And look what it tells us in verse 31. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. The reward she has earned is her faithfulness to Christ. The city gate was the place where the elders of the land sat in judgment on those who were unfaithful in their walk. Here is a woman who earns praise by these judges. Praise for her faithfulness to the Lord. Praise for the faithfulness to her husband and her children and her household. For she recognizes the role that Christ has given her in serving him faithfully, in earning his praise and grace. And so she gives thanks to him, as the church must give thanks to him. For as we see this picture of this wife of noble character, we see the picture of a faithful church. May it be a church which does not seek praise by its works, but a bride of Christ who recognizes the salvation that God has provided, which seeks to serve God and Christ in a way which earns his praise and glory for their faithfulness in how it lives for him and works out that union that it has for him because of the salvation God has given. No, this is not a passage to look at horizontally. This isn't a passage for a husband to go home and say, okay, dear, this is how you should be. This is a passage for a husband to recognize the blessing that God has given them in their life through the mother, through his mother, through the wife, through the various means that God has gifted him with. And may he seek to encourage her to fulfill her role and her life as she serves the Lord in this noble way. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we honor our mothers, we thank you for these words from Proverbs 31 and what they teach us, Lord, concerning the faithfulness that must be given to you. We thank you that we can see beyond the horizontal and recognize that the intimate relationship we have with you has given us the opportunity to work these things out in the lives of our household and families. We pray, Lord, that you would be with our mothers and bless them, that you, Lord, would honor them, and that we would give thanks to them for their faithfulness to you and their desire to serve you. Lord, may we recognize as your people the blessing that they were in our lives, that the blessing that they continue to be. And may, Lord, we serve you faithfully as we fulfill those roles that you have given us. We pray all these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.